We go. Can you, I got to keep her up close. Patsy said I keep getting softer and softer, and pretty soon you can't hear me. I have a thank you card that was passed on to me this morning. It says, thank you very much for the card and for the support you have always given me. I couldn't be more thankful for a church like this. I am very excited for what the future holds, Jax. So that's just a thank you for the way you guys support our young people is awesome, and it's neat to receive the thanks for it and see how they're growing in the Lord. And so I've noticed in the last few weeks as I travel and work going from place to place that a lot of the corn is curling up. There's a lot of places that the corn is really dry. Really, the crops are dry, and they're not getting the nutrition they need. We've had to water the tomatoes, and we've got Patsy a little tree this spring. We've had to water that to keep it growing this summer. So there's just crops have to have water to live and to survive. And in the same way, we have to be connected to the Father for us to survive. And I've titled the lesson today, I've taken it out of John chapter 7, Christ, the water of life. So we're going to be looking at mostly in John chapter 7 to see what that means. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you this morning that you nurture each one of us, Lord, that you, if we stay connected to you, that you are there to take care of us. Father, that it's so important that we get our nourishment each day from you. Lord, that we share that time that with you, the time in your word, the time in prayer, just acknowledging what you do all the time for us each day as we go through the day. So, Father, as we look at your word today, I ask that you'll speak to us, Lord, that you'll use me, and that I won't get in your way at all. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll begin today in John chapter 7. I noticed also in John chapter 4 that Jesus is talking to the woman at the well and telling her that he's the water of life. Let's just go there for just a minute. In chapter or verse 10 of chapter 4, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." So you all know the story of the woman at the well and how Jesus asked her for a drink, and she said, "Well, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? We don't associate with you guys." And that's when he told her that if she only knew who he was, she could get living water from him. And then she was all excited. "Well, I don't have to go back to the well again if I have this water that you're talking about." So we can go to the well all the time. Jesus is there for us all the time give us the water that we need, to give us the nutrition that we need. And I want to begin just right in verse 1 of chapter 7 today. So if you would just turn on over to chapter 7 of John. So this is just early in Jesus' life. He's done a few miracles. He's kind of in an argument with his brothers here at the beginning. They're going to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the Feast of Ingathering. It's actually like our Thanksgiving, only they have their Feast of Tabernacles in October. I looked it up. It's actually October 15th to the 22nd, the Feast of Tabernacles. And so this was the time that they were all getting ready to go to Jerusalem. Jesus and the brothers live up in Galilee, which is where Nazareth is. That's up in the northern part. If you have maps in your Bible, it's up in the northern part of the province there. And they had to go down through Samaria to get to Jerusalem. And so that was where the brothers were headed. They were going down to the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll see here as we get started that Jesus said, I'm not going to go right away. So the brothers were going to go ahead without him. Let's just begin here in verse 1. It says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea. So Judea is the area where Jerusalem is. That's where the Jews were strong and trying to come against Jesus. There was a lot of opposition, as we'll see here in this chapter, a lot of opposition to Jesus and to his teaching. And so he was just staying away from Judea because of the Jews there that were waiting to take his life. When the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brother said to him, you ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told them, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast because for you or for me, the right time has not yet come. And having said this, he stayed in Galilee. So he decided just to stay a little longer, let the brothers go. So it says, however, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, but not publicly, but in secret. So he made his way stealthily down to Jerusalem, stayed hidden, and was hiding out so that his brothers and others couldn't see him. So now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, where is that man? Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. So there's a lot of controversy. There was some who liked what Jesus was doing. Others didn't. They were just a lot of controversy, a lot of gossip, speaking to one another in whispers. They weren't talking publicly, but just going around and talking to each other, telling them what they thought. So in verse 14, it says, not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? So they knew that he hadn't gone to college. They knew he hadn't studied under any of the Jewish leaders of the days. He knew because he was the Son of God. And Jesus answered, he said, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? Are you demon-possessed? The crowd answered. Who's trying to kill you? And Jesus said to them, I did one miracle, and you are all astonished. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. Now if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. So they were mad because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. You all remember his first miracles, how he healed the man on the Sabbath day, and he told him to pick up his mat and walk, and the man did. Well, he said, how did you get better so quick? And he said, well, a man told me to get up, take my bed, and get up and walk. And so that's what I did. And so there was an argument about that, and that's why he's asking them, why are you angry at me if you can circumcise on the Sabbath? Why can't I heal the whole man on the Sabbath? And so we'll go on. I'm going to get down to verses 37 through 39 to talk about Jesus being our streams of living water. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they're trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? But we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. So again, there's there's argument, there's controversy. We know Jesus. We know where he's from. We know his brothers. We know his mom and dad. How can he be the Messiah? And then some of them believe that he really is the Christ, or that he's the Messiah that's come to save the world. And so there's argument about that. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I'm from. I'm not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. At this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Still many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering, said such things about him. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. So they're hearing what the crowd's saying, and they think it's time to arrest Jesus. So Jesus said, I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You'll look for me, but you'll not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. And Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we can't find him? Will he go where our people live, scattered among the Greeks, and live and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, you'll look for me, but you'll not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? So on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet come or not been given. Since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus said, if you're thirsty, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within him. So that is why he gives us the Holy Spirit, so that streams of living water can flow from each of us as we take our nourishment from him. He gives us what we need to give to the world. It says, on hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is a prophet. Others said, he is the Christ. And still others said, ask, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. So they were still, even after the miracles that Jesus did, after they heard him teach in the synagogue, they still were wondering, who is this man? Why is he doing what he's doing? But Jesus told them, you can't really live without the water that I give you. We have to be hooked up to Jesus Christ by the Spirit to have what we need for each day. So because we're hooked to the water of life, we have life and nourishment for the people around us. So we are able to share with the world what Jesus gives to us. I would like to finish up today in Revelations 22. Revelations 22 also talks about the river of life, about Jesus and Him being the water of life. So I want to finish up with that today. Let's go to Revelations 22 and look at verses 1 and 2 and then verse 17. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." Verse 3 says, "No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him." So we're His servants here to do his service. So the angel, or the river of the water of life, flows out from the throne of God. And every month, it bears a crop. So that means He wants us to work for Him every month, all the time. We have to be willing to share our lives with those around us. And then over in verse 17, it says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' Let him who hears say, 'Come.' And whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." So the water of life doesn't cost us anything. It's free. Jesus is the biggest part of our life that we'll ever have, that we'll ever need. If we stay connected to Him, drawing from nourishment from Him, we'll never run out. We won't get curled up leaves like the corn's getting some places. I see other corn that looks beautiful. It's really spotty this year again. And that's the same thing that happens in our lives when we get unconnected. We start curling up. We start losing our nourishment. We start drying up and don't get the nourishment we need as we stay connected to Jesus. So I would challenge you today, stay connected. Spend your time in the Word every day, in prayer, doing what we know we need to grow in Jesus. And as we finish up today, if any of you need prayer, why, I'd be glad to pray with you. Jesse had to leave to take his girls to the airport today. Matt's not here, but I'll be here to pray with you. And if you just want to gather those around you to pray for you, that's fine as well. As I've said before, it doesn't have to be one of us elders that pray for you. You guys can pray for one another. That's why we'd love to see you in Sunday school. That's what we do there. We take time to pray for one another and share with one another the love that God gives. So if you need prayer, come as we sing our last song.